Well, welcome to Ash Wednesday as we begin our sermon series on the crucified king. So in our gospel lesson, just kind of give you like a little panoramic view, is that reward appears four times in that Matthew text that we have read. Your father appears nine times, hypocrites appears three times, and secret appears four times. So what reward would you rather have, a reward from another human being or a reward from God? How many would choose from another human being? How many would choose from God? Very good. Most of us are awake. That is good. But so why do we strive so hard to have other humans recognize us and give us affirmation? Is there some kind of big void in our heart or our lives or our soul that yearns for others to recognize us and give us accolades? See, the accolades of others are fleeting. When you're a hero, others are around you giving you applause, but when you are a zero, you receive their scorn. Jesus describes a personal relationship with his heavenly Father and our heavenly Father. Jesus exposed the Pharisees for being hypocrites. And you know what a hypocrite is? Jesus described it this way. It's a whitewashed tomb with evil dead bones inside. So basically what Jesus says, they look good on the outside, but on the inside, they are full of greed and envy and sin. So, hypocrites like attention. Can you remember when you were a kid? Dad or mom, look at me, look at me. You wanted to impress mom or dad by whatever you could do. You may remember when you were able to run. Maybe it was the first time you were able to ride a bike or whatever your first was. You wanted mom and dad to know because you enjoyed their accolades. And as a child, you should. You should be affirmed as a family member. And there's nothing wrong with human accolade. But when you realize that if that is your primary way of feeling good about yourself, is what another human thinks of you, your self-worth can go up and down by how others value you. But when your self-worth is based upon your relationship with your Heavenly Father, it doesn't go up or down. He sees you as a 10 because you believe in Jesus Christ and His blood has washed away your sin. You see, Jesus talks about the Jewish triad. He talks about alms, which is giving. He talks about prayer and fasting. So some of you may have started fasting today as part of your ritual in Lent. So I will tell you on the front end is that I'm not totally fasting, but what I am doing is one exercise. I am pushing myself away from food. So I eat less. Okay? So that is my goal in 6 weeks is 10 to 15 pounds less. And that means is that this exercise has to be practiced. So what I do for Lent is rather than take away, I usually add. So what can I add to my regimen in the morning is I will read a New Testament lesson in the gospel. So now I'm adding a psalm with it. You know, that is my third reading in the morning. Now you may have a different regimen, but I have to encourage you is some time of the day, open a Bible and see what God has to say. Maybe you look at your phone. I mean, there's all kinds of ways. I mean, you can actually drive down the street and have your phone playing, and you can read the Bible that way. I mean, so there's many ways that you can receive the Word of God each and every day. So Solomon is a royal hypocrite. You may remember Solomon. Solomon in the beginning was humble, asking for wisdom, and Solomon's wisdom is rejoice in the wife of your youth. So did he really rejoice in the wife of his youth since he had 700 wives and 300 concubines? Is there a little disconnect there, Solomon? I think I see it. Okay? So think about this. How much money do you need to support 700 wives and 300 concubines? We'll answer that in a moment. Solomon writes about rejoicing in the wife of his youth, but yet he lives contrary to what he writes. Solomon came in as a humble king asking for wisdom, and then he became very arrogant. Solomon may have been the wisest man on earth outside of Jesus, but he was corrupted by wealth, women, and wine, the three W's. Solomon turned from wisdom from God and relying on his own wisdom, which in comparison is no wisdom at all. So Solomon is a royal hypocrite when Solomon's wisdom is how much better to get wisdom than gold. And Solomon's wisdom is fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So Solomon's wisdom was renowned in his time. The Queen of Sheba came over 1,000 miles and brought all kinds of wealth on camels to listen to the golden tongue of Solomon. And Solomon was a very wise man, but yet he made some really terrible decisions. In 2 Chronicles it says, the king made silver and gold as common as stones. If you've ever been to that part of the world, you know they got plenty of stones. Okay? So the estimated wealth of Solomon in his day, $2.1 trillion. That's what you need to support 700 wives and 300 concubines. Okay, so we don't have any trillionaires in the United States. We got billionaires, but no trillionaires. So Solomon's heart turned from loving God to loving things. And sometimes that's what happens to us as well. We love our things more than we love God who created the things. And that makes us royal hypocrites just as well. We love the praise of others at times more than we love the praise of our Heavenly Father. So consider this Ash Wednesday. Are you a hypocrite? If so, how? Well, how many of you have some kind of phone that has pictures in it? Okay, do you ever pose for a picture? Do you ever take a picture? And then do you ever post pictures on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or whatever else? And then all of a sudden, your worth is by how many likes you get, how many people you have following you. Is that kind of hypocritical because your self-worth is based upon how many people like you? Well, guess what? A lot of people love Jesus, and a lot of people hate Jesus. And I have to tell you that a lot of people don't like me for a good reason, because I'm a sinful human being and I'm a hypocrite. And they can see through me at times. So, what do I get out of Solomon's wisdom? This is what I get. Don't look at me. Look at Jesus. Don't look at me for who I am or what I can do, but look to Jesus for what he can do and what he has done. So you may not have stood on a street corner and had a trumpet blown, because that's what people did when they made a big offering. They got the trumpeters out, and let's look at this, and let's all give thanks for what this person has just done for God. They receive their accolades from God, not from God, but from human beings. So our Heavenly Father sees in secrets the good deeds that you do. And I have to tell you that many of you are out there doing good deeds. Yay, God! Good things are happening. But yet we are influenced by our world just as well because we love the praise of people. So our reward to receive praise should be from our Heavenly Father, the one who gave us the gift of faith and the gift of God's grace and the gift of life. So this evening, I'd like to talk about Jesus' concept of praise from God and others. So I'm going to invite you to read this with me. Jesus said, "I do not accept praise from men, but I know you will know God in your hearts. How can you believe since you accept praise from one another, yet make no effort to obtain praise that comes from the only God?" Well, Jesus wasn't a hypocrite. Jesus did what he said he was going to do. He talked the talk and he walked the walk. How many times have you said you're going to pray for someone else, and then when they came to you and said, "Oh, thank you for praying for me," and you said, "You're welcome," and you know in your heart you forgot? I've been there, done that a few times. So not to be a hypocrite, when somebody asks me to pray, I pray right then and there because I know what I will do. I will forget. Not my intent, it's just my age. But we have to recognize is that we are called to love one another as God has loved us. You see, God can fill the void in your heart and your soul. You don't have to live by attaboy or attagirl. You live by the grace of God and the love of Jesus Christ in your life. So I encourage you, don't be the hypocrite. Deeds are done in faith, are following in the very footsteps of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And wisdom that is given from above is holy, godly wisdom. Knowing that the Father has sent His one and only Son to die on the cross for you and for me. Jesus dies for hypocrites like me, possibly you as well. You see, love is seen in our deeds of loving one another, is how we show others that we love God just as well. So the wisdom of King Jesus this evening: the Queen of the South will rise at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom, and now someone greater than Solomon is here. Well, Solomon shared his wisdom from a golden throne. Jesus shared his wisdom from a grassy mountainside called the Sermon on the Mount. Solomon talked the talk, but did not walk the walk, but Jesus talked and walked at the same time. Solomon was surrounded by 12 lions overlaid with gold. Jesus was surrounded by 12 flesh and blood sinners called disciples. King Jesus is different from all their kings because he didn't come to be served, but he came to serve and give his life for each and every one of us. So could we say that we are his servants, that he is our king this evening? And what does servanthood look like? It simply looks like this: love your neighbor as you love yourself, and go and make disciples by sharing the good and great news of the gospel. And guess what? Lent is our time for sharing the gospel. Because this is a time that we set aside to have a personal reflection on our life and the life that Jesus has given us. It's a time of reflection to know that God loves us even more than we love ourselves. And when you don't love yourself, look to the cross, because that is God's mark on you and me in our baptism. Because in our baptism, we had the sign of the cross both upon our forehead and upon our heart to redeem us as one who has been crucified with Christ. Jesus pronounced from his throne on the cross, "Father, forgive them." His arm rests and his foot rests were made of nails on an old rugged cross. From dust we are, and from dust we will return. You know, you and I have amassed our own kingdom. We are a population of stuff. That is the American dream, is how much stuff can you accumulate over your lifetime. But guess what? When you leave this world, your stuff doesn't go with you. It stays here. But if you are building Christ's kingdom of sharing your faith with family and friends, that goes with you. Because that faith that you leave behind in others is a testimony that you were here for a godly reason and you understood Christ's wisdom. So what drove Jesus to the cross was to do the will of his Father. And what should drive us to the cross is our own sinfulness and to see our Savior. And when we see our Savior who loves us so much, we go out and tell, there's somebody who loves me even when I don't love myself. And his name is Jesus. We don't have to blow our own trumpets because God sees our deeds and gives us his reward. Jesus lived out what he taught. Jesus gives us what we cannot earn, the forgiveness of our sins. Jesus didn't stand on the street corners and say, look at me. But Jesus did stand on the cross and said, look at them. Father, forgive them. And that's the forgiveness that comes to you and to me this evening. So when we go to the Garden of Gethsemane, we're going the distance in the way of the disciples to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. Jesus left the crowd to pray in peace, in silence, so his Father could see, and we are people of prayer as well. So the crucified King this evening is God's wisdom in the flesh, the King of an eternal kingdom, and the crucified King who offers you and me forgiveness. So when we look at forgiveness, what does it look like? It looks like this. It looks like a cross. That's what it says, is that on that cross, Father, forgive them. Into your hands, Father, I commend my spirit. It is finished. It is fully done. I have paid for the sins of each human being. So as we take our Lenten journey this Lent, we live with these words, forgiveness. I have been forgiven, and my role is to bring forgiveness to others. Now, forgiveness is probably the hardest thing for us to do, is it not? Sometimes our pride gets in our way. Sometimes we're like the Pharisees. We're the hypocrite. Our self-righteousness gets in our way because it's easy to look down on others, but when others are looking down on us, that makes us angry. We don't like it when others don't receive us with a hero's welcome. You see, that's the world that we live in this day, a world filled with sin. And we have to recognize is that we're all sinners. And our self-righteousness doesn't cut it because people see us as hypocrites. It's not about how good you can be. It's about your faith in Jesus. Your good works are rewarded by your Father in heaven, and that's all by faith. It's not by how good you are. It's by faith in Jesus. So I encourage you this evening, this Lenten journey, to walk the walk and talk the walk. And once you have talked the walk, is to continue to keep on walking. So one of my goals is in my phone, it tells me how many steps I take a day. And I recognize that 10,000 steps are 5 miles. So I will work my way up to the 5,000 steps. So I'm at 2,000 steps right now, and within 2 weeks I want to be at 3, and next 2 weeks at 4, and finally 5,000 steps a day. Now that doesn't make me a better person, but it helps me to accomplish what I want to do, is to lose 10 to 15 pounds to be healthier. But what that also does is when I'm out walking, I get to see the world at a much slower pace, at 4 miles an hour. You can see a lot of things at 4 miles an hour. It's a lot different than 60, right? You can actually see the roses and even smell the roses. So I encourage you this Lenten season, talk the talk, walk the walk, and stay focused on Jesus. And all God's children say, Amen.